Let's get ready for the message this morning. Are you guys ready for the Word of God? I'm ready to share it. Hallelujah. My title of my message is Born to Grow. Just like that little baby brought into this world. But how many of you know that just bringing the babies into the world, we don't stop there. We challenge them to grow. Amen. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I deliver the message this morning, may your people connect and be blessed. Father, may it challenge us to be all that we can be as believers in the body of Christ. Father, we give you all the praise and glory for everything that's said and done and accomplished by our ministry that you've blessed us with, a ministry in particular. And so, Father, as we join together under the Word of God today, may it come alive to us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Born to grow. There's a quote that Dallas Willard had brought out before he went on home to be with the Lord. He said, in many seeker-sensitive churches, the focus is on getting people to confess Christ as a basis for going to heaven when they die. I don't want to diminish the importance of that, because you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're alive. So you ought to be ready for that. But it is possible to lose sight of character transformation as a serious element for the people you're bringing in. We need to do both of those things. See, for years, we as the church have capitalized on the fact of reaching the lost. And there's not a thing wrong with that. But we have not promoted the importance of growth, spiritual growth along with it. And they are both co-equal in their importance. It would be like saying, I can't hardly wait to get a hold of the seed and then not put it in the ground and water it, causing it to grow. It would be something that if we had a little baby born to us, and then we do nothing to give it milk, to cause it to try to grow with, and not cause it to come to maturity. It would be insane to say that. Because just as we are responsible for bringing the child into the world, we're just as responsible to see to it that it's brought to maturity. Amen. If you will, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to cover some scripture here tonight. In 2 Peter chapter 3, go to verse 16. 2 Peter 3:16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which we are, which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. And this is an important thing that we're going to be talking about today, is how important it is for character transformation. If we're going to capitalize on the importance of winning the loss, we have to co-equally capitalize on the fact of bringing the maturity. I don't know whether any of you realize it, but you know, that is the vision of our church. We want to bring people to maturity, to train and stabilize and mature the body of Christ. That is our whole vision. It's been that since God called me to pastor a church, is to see to it that I build the house of the sanctuary of the Lord. And he wasn't referring to just a physical house, but also a spiritual house that we're all a part of. And so here, if you notice that Peter said something about Paul's teaching, and he said this, he said, some teaching is hard to understand. And notice he said, hard to understand, meaning that the only people that are not going to be able to comprehend even what's hard to understand is because they are two things that they are, he mentions that they are. Number one, they are untaught. And see, a lot of people don't realize that when there is such difficult things to understand in the Word of God, usually the people that don't take full advantage of understanding the deeper things of God are those who are not teachable. They become unteachable. And then the second thing is they're unstable. When you're untaught and you're unstable, man, you're just no different than the unbeliever. You can just go anywhere you want to. You could end up any way you want to without being on purpose in your life. And when God comes into your life, He puts vision in you, first of all, and then He puts definite purpose. Those are the two things God wants in our life, vision and purpose. He doesn't want us to come into the kingdom of God, then gain a vision of the kingdom of heaven, and not lead us for purpose. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. And so today I want to challenge all of us. What is it that is important about us for growing up? Now, we had a new label that came on the scene 10 years ago or something called Seeker Sensitive Churches. Now, to some it meant a moving away from the full understanding of the gospel and a renunciation of the involvement of the Holy Spirit. At least that was the meaning I got when I first heard seeker-friendly or seeker-sensitive churches. Then, while others, the churches should think through how their message and ministry is coming across to the unlearned and to the believer, and communicate the gospel more effectively for the sake of the lost. So you got two sides when you hear the word seeker sensitive. You got two thoughts going here. One literally means a moving away from the fullness of the gospel. It's referring to a type of renunciation in the involvement of the Holy Spirit. But on the other side of the camp who believes in seeker sensitive churches, they say that we're trying to be more sensitive on how the message for the ministry is coming across to the unlearned and to the believer and communicate the gospel more effectively for the sake of the lost. So you got both of those types of camp thinking when it comes to the word seeker sensitive. Now we need to be careful how we define our terms. I can remember when I came into the kingdom of God and I was attending a local church and assembly church and happy with it. But there was a time that I wanted to go deeper into the things of God. And so my heart's cry was to do that. And then I asked the Lord, and the Lord led me to some people that would give me fresh insight to the Word of God that I hadn't seen before. And I was a Christian for about, I think, approximately three years until that hunger really started. And then when I did start hearing the faith message, which at one time the term of faith movement was banned by some, while to others it was a blessing. To me it was a blessing. But to others, they saw it as a materialistic thing, a name it and claim it attempt to manipulate God. While others saw it as a refreshing emphasis on the integrity of God's Word. And boy, I'll tell you what, that was where I was coming from. I didn't have no concept of a name it and claim it, wanting something out of God for Him to be manipulated by me to give me anything. That was never in my heart, but that was in the heart of believers that I've run across. So the wonderful discovery of scriptural truth to me that had been tucked away for centuries was our identity in Christ, the authority of the believer, our redemptive rights and privileges. Boy, when I started seeing them things, I got excited. But it was not my heart to manipulate God as these truths were coming alive in me. And some of you might identify to the same thing. Amen? So when you think about it, just think about it for a moment. It's not the terms itself that's right or wrong. It's how we apply the concepts and ideas, whether we stay scripturally accurate or not. That is the frustration that both sides have. They want to make sure that we're staying scripturally accurate. And so one side versus the other side comes up with their own concepts and ideas just to preserve that side. That side determines our focus, whether we are staying true to God and His Word. You see. Now, I've had the privilege of being in both camps. Not only in the charismatic camp, but I had the privilege of being in the ecumenical camp, as they call it, or denominationalism, such as Methodist, Presbyterian, you name it, Baptist. Mostly I was connected to the Baptist side. And here lately, I've noticed that we've had a tremendous struggle with people who have this concept, we should keep our focus on winning the lost with no consideration whatsoever of character transmission or transformation or change. And as a result, we've been accused of being too intellectual. Well, you know, we have designed our ministry in such a unique way that we make, for you people, the best of both worlds. We stay on practical, simple, very simple, a level, balanced, however you want to term it, way on a Sunday morning. Sunday evening, we try to make our messages in a little more interesting fashion. We deal with things that you normally wouldn't deal with on the practical level of thing, such as end time events, demons, whatever. And then Wednesday night, we go into what we call the hour of what? Huh? Meat night. We call it meat night. And this is where we get in and dig into Scripture and challenge ourselves to go deeper in the understanding of the things of God. And some believers, they seem to think that when you have a desire to go deeper into the things of God, you become unscriptural. They think you're just trying to become intellectual. But you know what? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because I want to challenge that kind of thinking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was very frustrated. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able." And he said clearly why they were not able to. Because the first thing he said is he gave testimony to their instability with each other. Their instability with each other. Why? Because they were untaught. And it wasn't because Paul did not want to teach them. Paul said, these guys, they're more controlled by the body of flesh than they are their inner nature. Now, how did I pick that up? Because of the words carnal. Carnal. You'll find that this mention in this, in both verses, verse 2 and 3, the word carnal. And I thought it was very interesting because in the Greek, the first word for carnal literally would have been better translated fleshly. Fleshly. And it is implying nature. For you are more under the control of your outward nature. But then in verse 3 he says, for you are still carnal. It means you're still under the dominion of that nature. See, some of us never get out of the dominion of our flesh, where we start growing as a spiritual being. And that's why he tells them something. He gives them a little secret. He says, if you can't grow up, he says very plainly, you are not subject to being a supernatural Christian. You are a mere man. Isn't that something when you're called into the kingdom of God? You are no longer to look at yourself from the viewpoint of being a mere man. Why? Because you move over into spirituality. See. So our focus as believers of the gospel should include both the new birth and growth. Why? Because there are some of us that not only do we not grow spiritually, we become stagnant and incomplacent and indifferent to many things. Because I'm going to tell you what, you give your flesh a little bit of, you give it a little itch, and I guarantee you, you will experience a pulling entirely away from the deep things of God. You will pull away from it. Because there is a nature within the carnality of man that is very much alive and against the kingdom of God that is in you. That's what happened to the church because of this very thing. The church began to divide itself on how they applied their concepts and ideas to determine their staying true to God. I had one person say, what denomination are you? Well, I shouldn't say one person. It was one of the doctors that I go see. She says, well, what denomination are you? And I says, I'm not of a denomination. Oh. And she says, well, what are you? And I said, I'm kind of interdenominational. She says to me, well, that's very interesting. What do you mean interdenominational? All denominations have an element of truth. She says, oh. She says, that's an interesting concept. See, one side just wants to stay true to the primary understanding of keeping or getting people born again without any capitalization on any emphasis of character transformation. You know, when you and I come into the kingdom of God, guess what? We're not to be like that little baby. We're to start growing up. While we're thinking about that, let's go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And let's go to chapter 5. Paul was doing his best to keep converted Jews out of Judaism and into Christ. That was his primary focus of this book. Because they wanted to abandon the concept of the Gentiles' Christianity and go back to the practice of Judaism and keep Jesus with them. They wanted to join the two together. We find that today happening a lot. And that's craziness. So, Paul was saying to them, and as you, the book of Hebrews gets very progressive, gets very tough on them. But he comes down to chapter 5, and let's go to verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Boy, this is really interesting. Whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Well, Paul did his best to explain it. And Peter said, yeah, some of the things that Paul taught was hard to understand. But notice he said, since you have become, and this is why it gets hard to explain, when people become dull of hearing. Now, a lot of people don't understand the word dull. It means sluggish, slow, one who has lost a drive. One who does no longer be counting themselves as diligent. In other words, they just have a whatever, whatever. You know, every one of us in this room can say, in our first love, We were diligent. Every one of us. Where are you at today? Are you dried up? Or have you reached the epitome of knowing all that the Word has to say? I know some brothers and sisters right now in heaven waiting for me to get there so I can tell them, I told you so. I had one brother come to me and tell me he understood the entire book of Revelations. I never will forget when I looked at him. My mouth was dropped. He said, you look shocked. I says, I can't believe how stupid you are. Well, he's there now. He knows it more than I do. He's there. So whatever they're preparing for the end time here, he's there. He knows more about it than I do now. So I guess if he was to stand before me now and said, I know more book of Revelation than you do, I could say, yes, amen. But in the meantime, we're all here. And so, look what he says. He says, the reason they're hard to explain is because you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Boy, I'll tell you what. What if you went up to a brother that you know was still a baby in Christ and said, do you want to talk about the Word of God? And he'd say, yeah. What if you pulled a bottle out to him? Have some milk. You know what they'd do? They'd slap that bottle out of your hand and proceed to give you a knuckle sandwich. Because you're calling them a baby. Well, it says they've been in church for a long time. But somehow they didn't grow. They didn't grow up. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. The word unskilled means without experience, ignorant of true doctrine. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. They have matured and come to full age. That is those who, now notice this, by reason of use, that word is the word practice, have their senses exercised, trained to discern both of good and of evil. So those who are now into strong meat, they have gotten a hold of their sensual being and they have learned to train it and exercise it to do both of what's right from what's wrong. Got control of themselves. When I was going to Rhema, I thought it was really funny because at that time, Rhema didn't have a church. So we were all commanded to go to different churches, and we went to different churches. And man, when I was in that situation, I couldn't believe the difference in the interpretation of so many things and their terminology and concept. But you know what? Some of them, I began to recognize, they meant the same thing, but they were using the wrong terminology. It had nothing to do with whether they were right or wrong against the other one. Their terminology was different. Their concepts were a little different. The concept of bringing people into the kingdom, soul winning, should follow the understanding of growing them up spiritually. This dual concept of goals is clearly seen in Scripture. Galatians 4:19. Let's go to Galatians 4:19. Galatians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. Look, notice, until Christ is formed in you. Notice this. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Because he was speaking to some churches that he established, and they began to wane from the truth. They began to buy into incorrect doctrine and false teaching. They began to intermix Judaism with Christianity. And Paul was not going to have any of that. Matter of fact, the other disciples that had been before Paul literally never got out of Judaism totally until Paul's ministry began to flourish, and Paul was the one responsible for getting them out of that kind of deception. Another one to look at. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, this dual focus of the new birth and growth is also seen here. 28 and 29. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. You see, that should be a drive of every pastor's heart. To strive and be concerned about keeping you in that place where you're going to grow spiritually. That is a craving of my heart. Sometimes I get criticized, like, you can get too intellectual. It has nothing to do with my intellect. It has everything to do with the meals that I prepare for you through praying in tongues and seeking the Lord for a message for you. Just like this morning, this message came. He says, you preach it to your people. You know why I'm doing it? Because you need it. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Boy, look at that. Cheating. The word cheating here, cheat, means forbidding you. There are some, when I started getting the good word of God, my redemptive rights, speaking in tongues, there were them that come my way and forbid me to get involved with speaking in tongues. You get away from that, that's of the devil. And I said, yeah, but I went to the word where it says that when he gives you the Holy Spirit, he don't give you a serpent. Where does that fit in? Yeah, I can see the birds of the air, how they tried to steal the good word of God out of me. Because they were sitting under somebody else that had a ceiling on them. Paul told the Romans in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your spiritual mind. Not your carnal mind, your spiritual mind. It's got to be given some different information that you've had before. Tonight, we're going to go back on the subject of the heart. A very interesting subject to be talking about. Some people have pegged it wrong. Said the heart can be used interchangeably with the word spirit. You got to be careful when you make those kind of statements. I have come to the conclusion the word for heart is the process by which you process everything in you to make up the fullness of your heart. How you process things. How you think about things. Fixed beliefs. Attitudes. All of these are part of the heart. What you process things with. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Powerful. 2 Peter. I preach this many times here. It's funny, when I preach a subject over and over again, you can always tell the ones who've been here to hear it. They always come up to you after you preach it three or four times and say, man, that's the first time you ever preached that. When did you preach that? That was good. Oh, I preached it 5 years ago for the first time, since then four times up till now. In 2 Peter chapter 1 here, while we want people to be spirit-born, spirit-filled, spirit-led, we still want to promote believers to be spiritually developed or character transformed. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Epinosis, not natural knowledge. Epinosis, a higher knowledge, a higher understanding of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. As His divine power has given unto us that pertain to life, natural life, and godliness, spiritual godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us, notice this, not only by glory, but by glory and virtue, strength, by which have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers, oh, I like this, of the divine nature. What is the divine nature? The divine nature is when you got born again and righteousness was imparted into your inner man. You have now inherited, apart from your own works, apart from your own ability, not through religion, not by works, but by a divine grace gift that was given to you and imparted into your spirit. And then you were declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus from God to man, not from man doing something to change God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I like this. By that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, the wrong desires. But also for this very reason, give all diligence. Give all diligence. Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now notice this. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will never be barren, useless. You'll never be useless, nor unfruitful. You'll bear good fruit in the knowledge, epinosis, of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. He's self-deceived and has forgotten that he was even purged from his old sins. Now, don't get me wrong as a pastor. But when you've been in church over 2 years, and we're still counseling you and praying for you that you overcome the dictates of the flesh, you have a growth problem. Because if little Lindsay was to bring me her baby and had it on milk for 2 years and never even attempted to give it any solid food, and I saw him little body frailly, getting frailer and thinner, I would detect something's wrong here. And we can't even discern it within ourselves. Boy, God got a hold of me. I got married a couple of months ago. No, it's been a little longer than that. I can't remember. And He began to really speak to me about some issues that I let slip under the door. He likes to fine-tune you. Challenge you to keep growing. So I'm challenging you today. Don't ever let it ever come out of your mouth. Well, that's just too much intellectual stuff. Stretch yourself. Force yourself. Why are they saying that? What is the purpose of that? You can sit down with people and right away you can tell whether they're teachable or not. They'll tell you everything and never ask where you come from. And when that thing happens, you just shut up. You don't say anything to them. They're not teachable. They're not open to any correction. And if you try to correct them, they'll cut your head off. But me as pastor, I can't afford to be that way. I can't afford to have that spirit. Just here was Wednesday night, Dino and I, we've been texting each other back. Dino come up after the service and I didn't, he said, well, I thought that was about his return. How in the world did he get that out of that? So I didn't say Dino's whacked. I went upstairs because I trust that that man has enough knowledge of the Word of God by now that I do him respect to check out what he was saying. And so as I was going over it and everything, I said, Father, you know, am I missing it? And then finally I looked at the verse, I think it was verse 12. I looked at verse 12 at the end. And that could be referring to talking about face to face with the Lord. And I said, I wonder if that's where Dino was coming from. So I text him and he come back. Exactly. Well, you see, you can't be so dogmatic you can't hear somebody else. Are you following me? But at least give somebody credit for what they do know. Because you could be missing it. But church, this is our vision. Our desire for you is to grow up and mature and to stabilize so that you're not nomadic, not darting about. I'm just a flea to the body of Christ. That's what one lady told me. I said, what church do you attend? Well, I don't attend any particular church. Well, what do you do? She says, I'm like a flea. She says, I'm just going to all kinds of churches. And I looked at her and I says, do you know what a flea is? She says, well, yeah, it hops all around. I says, it is the most irritating, bothersome thing that I know of, especially when it gets into animals. Well, I never looked at it that way. You should. I would never admit I'm a flea. That's not even in the Bible. It says, admit you're a flea. You know what the Bible tells you? Be a member of a body. Not a flea that gets into the body. Well, I just go where the Lord leads me.
Where did he lead you today?
Oh, I felt led to go down to the Unity Church.
Why would you feel led to go to a Unity Church? You know what a Unity Church is? Just whatever you believe, it's so. Where's your leading? I'm going to tell you something. To be led by the Spirit of God is a very personal thing, people. And those who are led by the Spirit of God, God says they're mature sons, not immature. Did you guys get something here today? I love you all. I hope I stepped on everybody's toes. I never had to step on mine. Boy, I was the most uncommitted nutcase. I don't even know why God even permitted me to even start a church, to be honest with you. I didn't know what it meant to get a hold of the vision of a pastor and work it. Yeah, I'm guilty of that. Even when I started this church, I was guilty of it. But I'll tell you what, after I started this church, I learned it real quick. It dawned on me one day, everybody's leaving for the same reason I left the other churches. Same reason. Joe, get something. Stand up. Hallelujah. 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 Father, give everyone in my congregation that vision that as they've come to Christ, Father, we want them to come to maturity. We don't want them to accumulate a lot of head knowledge. That doesn't mean anything. But Father, we want them to practice, put into action what they hear. They can join us in the same principles. We can work together to be transformed into the image of Christ that is found in us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the mind of Christ. May we take, inherit the full joy of that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.